The DL Debate brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs. Check this.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. We have another packed show in store for you this evening. Coming up later on the show, we have Sunday game analyst Kieran Whelan to wrap up the football championship for us. Also coming on the line and talking all things GAA will be Frankie Dolan, and he's also going to give us insight into his recently published book, Outside of the Right. Here I am in Highland Radio, I suppose, here myself, since the lockdown. I suppose you remember back to the early days, I used to have the likes of John Harn and Gilday and Brenda Kilcoyne and people like that up in studio, someone to bounce off. So it can be a bit strange here on your own sometimes, and hopefully we'll get back to some normality soon and get some guests back in. We live in hope anyway. But right now I don't have to feel too lonely because I have the very warm and friendly, the soundest man out there in reporting. It's the Donegal News reporter, Ryan Ferry. How are you today, Ryan?
Yes, Brendan. How are you getting on this evening?
I'm not too bad, Ryan. Good to hear from you. As I say, it's a different thing here being in the studio. So all on your own, as the man says. I was just thinking back there to times when we'd studio guests and that in. So it's been a learning process, man. So listen, great to have you on and great to get your views across the sport at the weekend, Ryan. Going straight into it. The under-20s clash, a great victory against Armagh, setting up another humdinger with our neighbours Tyrone.
Yeah, a fantastic one. I suppose a very comfortable victory in the end up for Gary Duffy's team. I suppose, as probably been well documented this week, we've very unlucky this year Donegal teams with the preliminary round draws. Our seniors, our under-20s and our minors have all ended up in the Ulster Championship preliminary round, which is far from ideal, but our under-20s followed our seniors and won it quite comfortably, and I think that was a good victory. Armagh, I suppose, have not been a very impressive at underage level over the last few years, but they're always tough opponents, so to win that comfortably was a good result, and hopefully they'll look to build up a bit of momentum now heading into a big game against Tyrone and Omagh.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a bit of a case that, Donegal played well, but Armagh were really, really poor on the day. So hard to read anything actually into the performance other than we did what we needed to do.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's always the case. And, you're never really sure at under-20 level, maybe how much preparation teams have done, as such, because, obviously with the minors, you always have the Ulster Minor League campaign and things like that, and you get a general gist of where teams are at. The last couple of years, they've had a league system for the under-20s, but they didn't have that this year, so you didn't really know where teams are at, and obviously, there's been training constraints on training exactly, but I'm sure Donegal won't be getting too carried away with it. They had a good victory, but, they're going in to face Tyrone now, and Paul Devlin still over Tyrone, and they won the Ulster under-20 title last year, got to the All-Ireland semi-final, so I know a lot of those players they brought in players midway through that campaign because obviously it was delayed until later in the championship, and they brought in fellas that were eligible to play this year, get them blooded a year early, so they will be very, very strong, you would imagine. And obviously 3 years ago at minor level, they give Donegal a bit of a hockey in Ballybuffet, but I suppose maybe under-20 is a better gauge of where things are at. The team is probably fairly different now than what it was 3 years ago. So I'm sure Gary Duffy and his management team will be eyeing up a big victory in there and on Friday evening.
Yeah, and of course they beat us last year, Ryan, in that Ulster won. I just think of people saying what scores they settle in that, the underage teams, obviously as you've turnover, the majority of the team's going to move on. You've new management in with Donegal there as well. I don't know how much scores come into it really at that level as much as it's a Donegal-Tyrone game, but just look at the management there, Gary Duffy, Leo McLooney, and McGee. I was just looking at them in now, and the difference in Donegal as time moves on, particularly with all the silverware that's been won, particularly with obviously with Leo and Eamon in there, there's a certain stature them guys have that must I suppose impact on those under-20s coming through. They have obviously been there and done it, so it must give them good insurance that they're in the background helping them develop.
Yeah, I'm sure it goes. Like, you know, if you take it, these fellas are 20 years of age or 19 years of age. So what age were they when, that was, 9 years ago, they were winning in All-Ireland? So those fellas would have been coming up. They would have been their heroes, like, growing up, you know, and that, they would have seen them play down through the year. So, you know, that was always, that's obviously a huge pull. But, you know, there are plenty of, there are a lot of good calibre people in that backroom team. You've Ronnie McGarvey from Nivora, a great stalwart of Nivora down through the years. He's in there too, and I know they've a very good and extensive management team. So everybody will be pulling their weight in there, I'm sure. And, you know, like, and that's what you have to do. And they're taking an interesting, you know, approach to it in the sense that they've actually none of last year's minors in the setup, you know, and that's a conscious effort to try and get the most out of the upper two age groups, the 20-year-olds and the 19-year-olds, so that nobody is slipping through the net and that everybody gets a fair go at it, and to try and get as many players and to squeeze as much out of this group as they can. Like, I don't know if that's coming directly from Gary Duffy or is that with, you know, Carl Lacey and Aaron Kyles and their new roles and the way they're approaching things, you know. So it's an interesting strategy, and we'll have to watch and see how that plays out over the next couple of years, because, you know, Donegal, you know, there are a lot of young players who have broken through to the senior teams, but you always need that convertible. You need to be getting probably two or three players at least from every underage team, and hoping that they come through with high standard of coaching and are ready to hit the ground running when they get their chance at 21 or 22 years of age.
Yeah, listen, wish them all the best next week going into that clash up in Omagh Friday night. Ryan, just turn your attention to the All-County Leagues there, Division 1. Just looking at the two results, can we read a lot on this, the Kilcare and Niamh Conlon result? They're basically almost the exact same scoreline, you know, in terms of what they hit and what they conceded in terms of absolutely burying the opposition. Is that a bit of a worry for the rest of the teams, or is that just two teams of their eye on this county final that's coming down the road?
Well, you know, like, I'm sure it possibly is, but, you know, both of those, even Kilcare and Niamh Conlon, like, their teams will probably still be very, very much considerably different whenever that county final is played, like, you know. So I think probably what we're seeing a wee bit in the league at the minute is a lot of teams are missing players. You know, there's injuries. There's senior commitments. Now you have the under 20 commitments in it, and, you know, that means that certain clubs are really short at the minute. And, you know, Glenswilly, for example, probably haven't got, you know, the depth that they did have, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, they're blooding a lot of young players, and, you know, Kilcare are blooding a lot of young players as well. But it can be tough, I suppose, when you're getting heavy defeats and things like that. But I don't know how much you would read into those league games either. You know, like St. Michael's, you know, I don't think Colin McFadden has been playing yet, but apparently is to come back in over the next couple of weeks, you know. So I don't think those teams will be getting too worked up about it. You have the great divide in Division 1, really. You know, you have the big four teams, and then you probably have the other six teams will all just be happy to stay up, I would imagine, you know. So, you know, I don't know. Like, a lot of those teams are probably just happy to get the points to stay up and try and blood in and try and get one or two players that maybe can do a job for them come the championship.
Ryan, it's very hard, as I say, just as you said there, to read into the league at all. Even the games, even though they're league games and they're important, it's as if it's all like just a complete pre-competition. You know, as you said, I know because of the situation here with COVID and that, it's just like everybody's getting on with it. Years ago, there would have been a huge row if players had to play without seniors or under 20s now. Everybody just does seem to be getting on with it, but it does leave it in a very strange place, the league, you know, to figure out, you know, what exactly is the competitive nature of it. And I just can't get my head around it week in, week out. Like, there's not really a game that I'm thinking that scoreline actually matters. Outside of it, as you were saying, maybe relegating a team, but I think the other sides have eyes on beating each other rather than beating the top teams. That said, our draw, of course, beat Gidoor at the weekend.
Yeah, it's a funny one, and like that, Division 1 is probably, you know, Division 1 is probably the difference in those in comparison with the other divisions, because probably in Division 2, Division 3 and Division 4, you know, there's huge battles at both ends of the table in that one. But really in Division 1, you know, the top four teams, although I'm sure they'll take a trophy if it's going, you know, they're not in it for the league, like they're in it for the championship. And the other teams are probably just, you know, happy to get that that upper standard of football and happy probably just to stay in Division One. So Division One's probably the outlier, really. Like, it's probably a wee bit different. But it's going to be a strange league campaign. And this is probably the way with the split season going forward. It's going to be a bit strange because, you know, like, we're all very, very hopeful that Donegal are going to win this weekend against Derry. But if Donegal were to happen to be defeated and the season's over, you know, then you've players, like all of a sudden, Glenn Swilly might look very different when Michael Murphy comes back into the mix. And that could be from 2 weeks' time, or that might not be at all. You know, there might be no games where the county players are back. So, you know, the league could change format, you know, depending on how Donegal do and how things play out. But, you know, at the minute, this season has come in, and, you know, it looks like teams are going to have to be prepared to, you know, to play without their county men. And then it could come down to a playoff situation. You know, a side may come 10th in Division 1 and mightn't pick up anything. And, you know, a team could come 7th in Division 1 and pick up 8 points. But if they lose to the team that came 10th in the playoff match, then they're down. And, you know, again, there could be a bit of annoyance about that if that situation was to develop. But I think we're all just getting on with it at the minute and maybe playing it by ear, as the man says.
And the county final, the rearranged county final, is there an idea when that will happen then, if they kind of set it around the end of Donegal's season and then it'll be played? Is that...
Yeah, well, it won't be played until Donegal are out. And I think, I'm not 100% sure if they've actually set an official date for it. I think the last I heard, they were to give both clubs, you know, maybe an insight onto, well, it's definitely not going to be this date, but it could perhaps be this date. If the Donegal were knocked out at the Ulster final stage, or if Donegal were knocked out at the quarter final stage, or an All-Ireland final stage, but it definitely won't be played until Donegal are finished, or Donegal's interest in the senior championship is concluded, and it definitely will be played before the 2021 championship is started.
Yeah. Be very strange. And it seems like, it feels like it's going to be played just maybe pre the obviously the senior championship. So be very weird a time for Kilcare and Leif Connolly, whoever wins it, of course, maybe a week, 2 weeks later, going straight on the new championship. But listen, Ryan, that's where it's at. As you said, we just got to get on with it. Ryan, just turn our attention to obviously the weekend's clash with Derry. Just looking yesterday it was a very brave performance by Antrim. You know, I know Enda well. Obviously, you're basically Division 4 to Division 1. They're trying to bridge a gap. I've seen Antrim the last few years not competitive at all. I was unbelievably impressed by them first half. But then, you know, you were just waiting. Maybe there was a couple of signs of goals in that first half and Armagh clicked in the speed. Is that what you're kind of thinking around the Derry challenge as well? Something similar, that they'll hold Donegal tight, but eventually that forward talent will open them up?
Yeah. Possibly, but I have to say, like, from a Donegal perspective, I would be worried about this game, you know, because, you know, like people are talking about, you know, that Antrim are behind Armagh and their conditioning and things like that, and they definitely are. And Derry are probably a bit behind Donegal in terms of their conditioning and things like that as well, but perhaps not hugely behind. Like, you know, we've been reading about since Rory came in, and the standards he has tried to set in Derry, and how they tried to use the lockdowns to really put muscle on their young players. And, you know, Derry, in fairness, Brendan, to them, you know, they really have, they've got their house in order now in terms of their underage football. Like, they won the last year's minor championship there over the weekend. You know, I was up watching Lavie's minor team against Termon. It was 2 years ago now, and they were very impressive. There were a couple of downies coming through the ranks. So Derry as a team are very much coming, and there's going to be, you know, they're definitely going to be a force in Ulster over the next couple of years. It's whether they are at that stage yet is the question. And, you know, you'd be looking at it and you were thinking Donegal should have too much for them. They should be able to break through towards the end of the game. But if you look at a day like yesterday was, like, you look down in the Hyde and, you know, Roscommon and Galway, and it was a dull, it was a wet, heavy old day. And Derry, you know, Derry would just be looking to hang in it as long as they can, I would imagine, and hope that they can, you know, get their players, get their scorers on the ball, get Emmett Bradley on the ball, get Shane McGuigan, Niall Loughlin, and try and get the scores. And, you know, Rory will, as everybody has said, will know the Donegal players very, very well, but he'll also know that Donegal have a terrific record in McCool Park, and he'll know that Derry are going into the Lions Den this weekend, like, you know, but I'm sure he'll be planning for a scalp. You know, I do think Donegal will probably come through it, but, you know, I don't think it'll be anything as comfortable as it was for Armagh in the end of yesterday. I think when we're going down the home stretch, I think it'll still be in the mixer.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the warning probably was there yesterday. Brian, if Edna McGinley was able to bridge that gap between 4-1 for 45 minutes of that game, let's be honest. Now, I don't think Armagh were really on it. Maybe that's what Derry's looking for as well. Ryan, but listen, Ryan, if we're going to have aspirations of, you know, people are talking about like winning an Ulster, listen, Donegal's been there, won Ulster. Of course, we won the one Ulster. That's your first port of call. But we got to get into a semi-final, and that's something that we've just fallen short of. But, you know, if we have aspirations to get into a semi-final, and if we do make it that far, and you know, let's just say you did, you're playing likes of Kerry, you know, Kerry's not going to be afraid of being at home playing Derry. You know, that's the only thing too. And I know Ulster can be a bit of a leveller, but, you know, Donegal have to go. And, you know, if it's tight in the home stretch, I would be a small bit surprised at that. Now, if Derry can make that jump, fair play to them and good luck to them, you know. But really, Ryan, if we're going to push on as a team, we got to be able to take care of Derry in our own backyard.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I do agree with you on that. And, you know, people were saying this before the Down game, you know, they were saying, like, well, you know, Kerry are going to hammer Clare, so why wouldn't Donegal be able to hammer Down? You know, when people were predicting it would be a tight game. So, you know, possibly, and like, I would agree with you, like, if they're still going to play Kerry and Ernie, you know, nobody would be back to win, like, you know. So, but Ulster football is just tricky, and I suppose in many ways, you know, perhaps people like myself and maybe people in the media are a bit scared after what happened against Cavan last year, and, you know, like, you know, pretty much ripped Cavan off completely. And on the day in Ulster football, like, anything can happen. And, you know, even you know, you look at Dublin yesterday playing Wexford, and, you know, how they didn't, you know, they didn't beat them by a cricket score. And, you know, the most obvious part about that is because, you know, they didn't play them in Croke Park. Yeah. You know, where they didn't have the big wide open spaces, and teams, they don't want to be playing. And again, if Dublin are playing anybody in Croke Park every day of the week, so they know it well. There's never any wind. It's a big, big pitch. You know, their conditioning comes to the thing. But, you know, if they're playing somebody, and, you know, there's a breeze going down the pitch, and it's a tight ground or something, then that levels it out a wee bit. But, you know, I agree with you in the sense that, you know, if Donegal struggled to get over Derry this weekend, and you're talking about Fuller down the line and potential credentials, you wouldn't think that is particularly encouraging. But the one thing about Donegal that I would take over the last couple of weeks that is a slight worry is that there are a lot of injuries, and there are a lot of people, you know, trying to get up to speed, and players that have missed one or two league games, you know. So I think if Donegal were to go long term into this championship, I think they're going to have to build up, you know. They're going to have to try and get, you know, more, you know, get Owen Bannon a bit, Matt Sharper, you know, Stephen McManaman, who's been missing a couple of games, those players. Obviously, Murphy's the big one. You know, can they get him back on the field? Because, you know, if you were lucky enough to come through Ulster and got to face Kerry or Dublin, you're going to have everybody flying fit, you know, ready to go to take on those teams. Because they don't really seem to be having a huge amount of injuries, Kerry or Dublin. So, you know, like, I think from a Donegal perspective, you know, if they could just get through this Derry game and get geared up for Tyrone, I think they would be happy enough.
Yep, Ryan, great stuff. That's Ryan Ferry there, erring on the side of caution. That's probably the smart play. I'm all out attack. It's a dangerous side of me. Ryan, thanks for balancing that up and giving us your views this evening on the DL debate. I'll see you soon.
No worries, Ben.
Thanks,
good luck,
Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, always great to hear from Ryan Ferry there, doing a great job with the Donegal news. Now we turn our attention to the All-Ireland Football Series. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Dublin star, now RTE star, of course. It is the one and only, the great Kieran Whelan. How are you today, Kieran?
I'm good, not a bad on yourself.
Yes, Kieran, you don't need a wee bit of makeup for this interview. Yeah, it's just radio. You can just look your natural self, you know.
I can just look my own horrible self. Don't need to be caked with makeup.
Kieran, listen, what have you made of the season so far? It's been strange, but yet in some ways predictable. I think, you know, the league, obviously, there was some hammerings given out, and it was almost as if, you know, the world ended in a few games, particularly, I suppose, when Kerry hammered Galway and then did the same to Tyrone. But the championship has started now, and it's been very much the script. What have you made of it?
Yeah, not surprised, Brendan, to be honest with you, because I thought the narrative was getting a little bit carried away there in the league, you know, when people were putting up high scores and we were saying that the death of defensive football, it was gone, you know. I never envisaged that was going to happen, being honest with you, because, we do this every year. We get caught up in league form and we start analysing league and what it means and how teams are going. But really, when you think about it, they were in lockdown for so long. Teams are coming back. Like the northern part of Division 1 was like an internal Ulster championship. Teams were not going to show their hand. They were going to keep things for a championship. It was great to watch. It was brilliant on the eye, no doubt about it. But, like, listen, if you're a manager of a team, you're thinking, yeah, we've championship 2-3 weeks down the line. I will take some gambles. Or, you know, I might set up the differently defensively. I'll challenge my defenders to see, can they cope in a one-on-one situation defensively if we want to push forward? You know, we'll do different things on kickouts. I would have thought there was a lot of aspect of that in the league. And I think, like, the nature of the championship, like, it's really tough on teams. You know, I have genuine fear for players because it's 7 teams knocked out yesterday, it's 7 teams knocked out the week before. You know, like, even yesterday, I think there were 6 games nearly in the afternoon. Do you know what I mean? At the same time, which makes it very, very difficult from a GAA supporter perspective. But definitely there's no doubt about it that teams are going into championship knowing that it's high-risk stuff. We have to set up, I suppose, conservatively. We don't want to lose the game. We want to give ourselves the best chance to win the game. And taking a very, very different approach because of the lessons they learned. So, like, and I get that and I understand that. So, it's like, it certainly, you saw from a Roscommon perspective yesterday how they set up, which, like, it was probably disappointing to see. Not more so in terms of trying to win the game, but in terms of the personnel that they have. And, you know, some of the great forwards like they have, the Murtas, the Craigs, these guys, asking them to play a defensive game when their natural ability is up front of goal and kicking scores and stuff like that. You know, you're better off naming 12 defenders if you're going to play in a game like that, and bringing these guys on when they're fresh in the last 20 minutes when the game opens up. You know what I mean? So I thought they were just a little bit naive and didn't back themselves to take on Galway. Like, Galway to me are a little hit and miss. You know what I mean? They have great talent, but I think Corey Joyce has been a little bit confused as to how he wants them to play, and they definitely haven't been consistent over the last 12 months. So you would have thought Roscommon would have maybe gone out and had a bit of a cut yesterday and backed their forward to maybe win in the Hyde. You know, so definitely, listen, it's safety first. You know, yes, the game is evolving. You know what I mean? I see it. Listen, you were a great soccer player in your day, but you definitely see some of the soccer tactics even coming into it, in that everybody is kind of committing to attack, and then it's trying to get back as quick as you can and slow down the opposition on the counter attack and get your defensive shape put in place, or get your plus one in on the edge of the D. Do you know what I mean? So the tactics are definitely evolving, but you know, it's great to be watching games again, Ben, but at the same time, I think it's tough for 14 teams to be out at this point. It seems odd. We're only into the championship and half the teams are nearly gone, you know?
Yeah, the Dutch called it the total football, wasn't it, when they were doing it, mind you? That was the beautiful game then. I don't know if there was much beauty in the Hyde yesterday. But yeah, you're right, Willow. You look at, see if you take the likes of Roscommon. If they went in the back door after their first round defeat, they're going to beat most teams in there and probably get up ahead of steam and probably be a different team should they make it all the way to, in old style, let's say, make it all the way to a quarter final or get to Croke Park, and there would be something for them in the season. That's so difficult for them going out at this point, and particularly when they are a side that, you know, they're there. They're one of the teams that's trying their best to force into this top eight, you know, along with the likes of Meath and Sizey Gat. They just find it so hard to get in, you know. Yeah. One team that has seemed to have pushed their way into it is Armagh. Kieran, you have to be impressed with Ian de McGinley, you know, making a jump from Division 4 to 1 yesterday, 45 minutes. Competitive, you know, yeah. I've watched Antrim the last few years, Kieran. They haven't been anywhere near competitive, you know, they've been blowing away in Ulster. So, you know, you got to say, Enda's a smart guy, I know Enda well. He seems to put a wee bit of backbone in it. That said, you were just waiting for the explosion that Armagh have. And again, it's something you touched on with Ross Common. All the top teams now have unbelievable scoring power. Unless you match that, you know, defensively is not going to be enough. And that's where Ross Common, I think, was stuck yesterday. Whereas Armagh, I don't think they played that well in the game, but they opened up. And once they did, the goals was going to kill Antrim.
Yeah, and in fairness to Antrim, you know, it was phenomenal performance. And I thought it was interesting this morning, McGeaney coming out, you know, kind of half referencing that his players were getting a step ahead of themselves and maybe getting too many pats in the back, you know, which was
being typical McGeaney.
but really bringing them back down to earth and saying, you know, guys, yeah, you think you're contenders, but this is championship football. You haven't achieved anything yet, and probably pointing out that the league was a bit of a smokescreen. But, you know, there's a lot to like about Armagh, and I think what was also evident, you know, saw it in some of the other games yesterday, you know, watch Kildare and Offaly and Dublin Wexford, and just the different levels in conditioning and fitness between the top teams, particularly going into that last quarter, you know, 15, 20 minutes to go. The good teams really kind of kick on, and the weaker teams are running out of steam. But that will give McGinley the likes of, it will give him hope. He's only in the job, you know, he's only in the job a short time. So and COVID has disrupted it. So if he gets them back full time next year and keeps the spirit, he'd be hoping that he can progress and get them up there. But like, even getting back to what you mentioned about Roscommon, Ben, like, Roscommon shouldn't fear Galway, you know, but they played with fear yesterday.
Yeah.
They played with fear. They set up with fear. And that's, you know, I can understand that from maybe a Division 4 team going out and they're trying to, you know, there's an element of damage limitation. They kind of, the white flag is probably being raised. They know they're not going to win the game. You know what I mean? And they're trying to say, yeah, well, listen, let's try to keep this respectful. And we got a goal or two on the counter-attack. You know, who knows? Or if we were there with 10 minutes ago, who knows? But a Roscommon taking on a Galway in a Connacht Championship, where there's always been very little bit between them, you would expect them just to have a little bit more, I suppose, adventure and to go after the game a little bit more and play to the strength of their team and the forwards they have. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's interesting. I think what showed, as I said over the weekend, there's still a gap like between the top teams and the Division 4 teams when it comes to that conditioning and the work that they've done. And like, you look where McGinley is on his journey with Armagh compared to where McGinley is with Antrim. You know, he's 4 or 5 years down the line, and it's taken him probably a lot of hard knocks and a lot of tough defeats and days when, you know, game plans went against Armagh, and now he's building a team that has, you know, capability, particularly their forward power up front, and probably, I'd say McGinley's happy enough this morning, because he's been able to give them a little kick in the arse before the Monaghan game, you know what I mean? And that can be a good thing from a manager's perspective, that they didn't go out and coast through the game, and that could lead to them slipping into their comfort zone. So I'd say he's happy enough that Antrim asked plenty of questions of him yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. And just looking at the Monaghan game, it was interesting. Just listen, there was no doubt Monaghan were going to win. That's been a tough time for Ryan McMenamin. But just looking at the players he's missing, you know, Shane Lee Cullen, right? Normal defender starting every year for Mana. Derry Gonley, fellas, Ryan Jones, who's a top midfielder's brother, Connell, you know, Thomas and Marie Corrigan, all missing. Now, McMenamin said he's not going to go chasing players, which is fair enough, but you just think, you know, put those six players into that game yesterday. Fermanagh probably have a chance. And there again, you're on a bit, you know, the haves and the have-nots. Some players are looking at the commitment now and saying, listen, there's not enough in this for me to be hitting the gym 3 mornings a week and training another 3 days on top of that in the evening and giving up all my weekends and that. And that's a bit of a worry. You know, Paddy Talley mentioned it after the Donegal defeat to Down. You know, that again, Kieran, would have a real worry for me around, you know, as much as we promote, try and help sides through coaching and whatever we do to help teams pull up the gap. If players aren't committing to it, you're never going to bridge the gap.
Yeah, and it's extremely tough. You have huge empathy with the weaker counties, and like the lads that go in and manage the weaker counties have a tough job on their hands because they're trying to bring everyone on the bus, they're trying to bring everyone in the one direction, they're trying to get their best players on the field. And like you compare that to Paul Mannion coming out saying, you know, well, you know, it was just getting a little bit too much in terms of the commitment and stuff like that. He's in a position where he's a bagload of All-Ireland medals. You know, yeah. he's able to do that, and it's a kind of an easy decision to make. He's ticked a box in his life and he's moved on. Extremely difficult for the weaker counties, and probably maybe the format didn't suit Brennan to a certain degree, that some lads were, you know, okay, the different experience in COVID, they might have, you know, got a little bit of time back and they kind of asked themselves questions at times to reflect and say, well, you know, is this something that I see any joy at the end of the tunnel? Are we so far off this? Particularly guys that have probably given, maybe have been there and they've worn the county jersey and they've kind of, that's been part of their life and they've been there for 6-7 years and they kind of turn around and say, well, you know, what am I doing? I'm putting massive commitment here for one game in June that we would have to cause a massive shock to win. And I think that's the hardest part for the weaker counties. I really do. It's worrying. With no kind of second tier or no leagues or nothing to aim for or no chance of success, you know, naturally lads are going to look at that and say, well, hold on a sec, I have to focus on my career or my family or do whatever I have to do to make sure I'm successful in life, and the GAA is just not part of that at the moment. So it's tough for Ryan McMenamin and Fermanagh, you know what, yeah. I mean, that they're not, and Sligo similar, they're not getting the best players on the field, and we've seen the opposite with a few weaker counties where, you know, managers go in, Mickey Hart goes into Louth, he's always going to get a bounce. Everyone's always going to want to play for Mickey Hart because of what he brings to the table, you know what I mean? And similar maybe Enda McGinley going into Antrim and stuff like that. So you teams will get bounces, and I think that's why a lot of them bring in these outside managers, because they want the players to buy in, you know what I mean? And I think that's an integral part of it, but it's hugely challenging for them.
Yeah, and you look at it, you know, Buckley and then the likes of Monaghan, you know, Donaghy and the Armagh, you know, Poitras and Roscommon, the bigger teams, like obviously, you know, Donegal pulling in Rochford, the bigger teams can do that, which again is a bit of a danger, Kieran. But Kieran, just looking across the provinces, and you know, we've obviously got 3 or 4 great games coming up in Ulster, Donegal, Derry this week, and then the winners play Tyrone. You have Monaghan and Armagh in the semi-final, and then whoever makes the final. Should be cracking games. Hopefully Galway may all throw up something with. Just turning to your own men now, and of course all the question marks about this game at the weekend, and of course the question marks about Cluxton. Can you put this Cluxton issue to bed for us, or is it still hanging in the balance?
The Cluxton issue, you know, obviously he it doesn't look like he's involved, and listen, being the nature of the character that he is, he doesn't seem to be contactable at the moment. He's gone to ground, and I think that's why it has left Desi Farrell in a bit of a bind, in that he may not still know whether Cluxton has retired.
Do you think that is the issue then, Kieran, that Cluxton still hasn't actually told Desi?
Yeah, that seems mad.
Yeah. And listen, what about Comerford in terms of, is he looking over his shoulder thinking, here, am I going to be in, or is this man going to land back? It seems such a strange situation, but then again, with Cluxton, you know, that always seems to be the way with him. He just does his own thing.
Well, that's it, and that's the type.
And he's the right to do it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the type of character he is, and just judging Desi Farrell's comments yesterday, he kind of said, yeah, well, the door is still open, and that struck me as, well, Desi doesn't really know where he stands at this point. And I do think that clarity is needed to a certain degree, because for the likes of Evan Comerford and the team in its whole, and I think, you know, it is something that the media are going to still question Desi about and stuff like that. And like Dublin's performance yesterday wasn't great at all, if I'm being honest. It was probably one of their sloppiest performances I've seen in a while, and Wexford gave them plenty of it and physically really got stuck into them, and Dublin were getting a little bit cranky, and Wexford deserve great credit for the manner in which they went about the game. They managed to keep Conor Callan very quiet, they kept Kilkenny quiet, they put a lot of Dublin's strength off, and it would be a little bit concerning. But you know, getting back to the Cluxton thing, I do think clarity is definitely needed to let Evan Comerford and to let Dublin move forward, and I think it's something that will, you know, do I see him coming back this year? No. I don't at this point. I think it's too late in the day. And do I see him coming back as a 40-year-old? You know what I mean? No. So I think, sadly, it might be something, something that's come to an end. We all know what he's done for the game, yeah. And we all know how important he is to Dublin. And Evan Comerford is a damn good goalkeeper, and I knew yeah. Evan from development squads and stuff like that. But like Cluxton is just iconic. He's been the team captain. He's been the man that when the team has wobbled or has been under pressure in the last 6 years, he can control it and bring them back on track in what he delivers in the clutch moment. So it is a massive loss to Dublin, and I don't envisage him coming back. I think like with such a tight championship, when you think about it, you know, you've Dublin of Meath coming down the tracks now, 2 weeks' time, and then you're into the finals, and it's going to be over before we know it, Brendan. So, you know, he can't just, you know, come back and stroll straight in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right, Kieran, it would be unfair. And if, as the song goes, I did it my way, I think that's the way Cluxton's just going to seal off into the sunset, Kieran. Yeah. And listen, Kieran, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, great view, small chink of light for the rest of us, originally no hopers that the Dubs might be letting their guard down a wee bit, and we might get a proper shot at them and Croker down the line.
Ah, well, listen, they could listen, and I know it's not trying to talk them down or in any shape or form, Ben, but I just think when you look at the quality of players that they've lost, you know, and if you looked at the Dublin bench yesterday, and you looked, you know, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, people would be talking about the power that Dublin had to bring off the bench, and they could, you know, there was many analyses done where they pulled up an A team and a B team, and how strong that B team would be, and it would win most championships and all stuff like that. The depth of player is not there. While they're still, the first 15 is still top quality, and there's some special players, and they'll still be thereabouts knocking around the place. I think there's a sense that it's going to level off soon, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. You know,
interesting, surely, Kieran, and we'll be in the round it. Listen, thanks so much, and I'll catch up with you later on this summer.
Thank you,
Kieran. Catch up soon.
Cheers.
Bye. And now, folks, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Roscommon and St Bridget's sharpshooter, who took the recent bold step of penning the memoirs outside of the right because, like me, he had no left foot. Frankie Dolan, how are you today, sir?
Do you remember the 2013 final, the last kick of the game?
Of course. How could I forget? The first Roscommon team to ever do it. Listen, it was some achievement. Before we get to booking that, Frankie, I want to just... I have to get your thoughts on yesterday's game, because I know, like me, you've seen football go down a bit of a bad road, and I was actually watching particularly that first half yesterday, and I knew you were coming on this evening, so I thought to myself, Frankie must be... I don't even think you probably did watch the whole game, but your views on it?
Yeah, I was at the game, Dev, and now I suppose, first of all, the conditions were very poor. The pitch was very, very slippy, you know, the ball was like a bar of soap, and as you say, things have changed a lot in the last few years, and you know, I had a great view from where I was sitting. Like, Roscommon had 14 players inside our own 45, a lot in the first half, and you know, it was awful to watch. You know, it's just, I know there was a point in at the half time goal or a point up, but you know, it was awful to watch. Any time Roscommon won the ball back, we had no outlet up the pitch. Everybody was back inside the 45, you know, and then we were just going sideways and backways, and just everything was slow, build up was slow. You know, we have a couple of really good forwards, probably old type forwards, Dev, I've called them, the likes of Donny Smith and Jeremy Murta in particular, and like, them boys know where the posts are, and I don't think they're able to play that game running up and down the pitch constantly. And you know, we didn't utilise their skill sets, I suppose, especially on the scoreboard. They know where the posts are, and as the game went on, I just seen them, they were getting so frustrated, you know, because an odd time, if Roscommon did try and kick in a ball, you know, it was a bad pass, and it was just being mopped up by the Galway defence, and just basic things like that. And, you know, Jeremy got taken off, Conor Cox got taken off. Like, our full back line scored more than our full forward line yesterday, you know, so that speaks volumes. And just the tactics alone, I know I suppose the modern game has gone that way, but like, you know, I'd like to have seen Roscommon maybe leave two players, if not three, up the pitch. You know, you've Conor Cox there. I know he hasn't been playing well this year, but you know, we have a, you know, I said Donny and Jermot, like, the two brilliant forwards, but, like, we didn't use them. They were back in our own defence more than they were up in the forward line, and it was just a pity, you know, and just, Galway ran out easy winners in the end.
Yeah, you know, everybody's talking then about Poacher, and is this his influence? But sure, I mean, Anthony Cunningham's still the manager, Frankie, you know, there must have been their plan together to do this. I just think you get the sense from me, Frankie, that, you know, you may as well go down shooting. Go down, you know, meekly like that, you know, playing in your shell. It's that balance, I think, is the big issue. Now, listen, if Roscommon's going to put some kind of, I don't know, system in place that they think that this is going to better them, I just can't see how that works. And it's at a time when most of the other teams have gone slightly the other way. And if there's one thing, as you said there, Roscommon have plenty of players to put the ball over the bar. So if you're holding that side of your game back, trying to out-defend a team, you're going to get, you know, I think most of the modern teams now have more set their stall on. Yeah, sure, they drop players in, but it's all about trying to get as many players up the pitch to put the ball over the bar.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. And, you know, the transition from defence to attack, it was way, way, way too slow. Now, I don't know whether Roscommon fitness levels were where they should be, but to me, I thought some players looked unfit. You know, they struggled at times to get up and down the pitch. And, you know, it was very, very frustrating to be there in the stand. You know, Roscommon supporters were, you know, they weren't happy with the way Roscommon were playing. You could hear them shouting at the management. You know, they were giving out a lot. You know, everything was just going backwards and sideways. And, you know, especially when we said there we had a couple of good forwards, you know, we're not getting the most out of them. You know, they're in the defence more than in the attack. And, you know, I think managers and coaches or managements or whatever, you know, need to have a bit more balls and, you know, go for games. Leave a couple of players up the pitch,
yep.
You know, and the opposition then have to, like, if the opposition don't leave players back marking them, you know, one turnover, it's a goal. You know what I mean, Dev? One kick pass in, it's a goal. Like, it's just easy. It's just, I thought it was very easy there for Galway yesterday. I think Galway were probably in about third gear. You know, Comer didn't look particularly sharp. I know he had a broken thumb, I think it was, and Shane Walsh came off injured near the end. I don't know whether it was a hamstring or some kind of a muscle injury. He was flying down the wing and just seemed to pull up near the end. So, but I just think Galway were in about third gear, and you know, they ran out easy enough winners. Like, basic mistakes, you know, kept you know, basic mistakes from Roscommon, you know, kicking away a ball, hand passing away a ball with no pressure on, you know, and it was just very easy for Galway, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah. Galway have had a lot of underage success too, I suppose, Frankie, you know, and they have a savage record there. Somebody's, it's in a quote there, it's only about 30 years since Roscommon beat them at the Hyde, which seems crazy, but that was thrown about yesterday. But Frankie, that's yesterday's ball. Hey, I'm so interested to get into this book with you, you know. You hooked up with Liam Hayes, Frankie, and was this a thought in your mind? I've seen that you quoted about wanting to set the record straight because, you know, in Roscommon and yourself being the star man with Roscommon and Bridget's and that, you know, all stories maybe what grew legs, as you said, and you wanted to set the record straight on a few things, and of course, you know, put your full career and the brilliance of it down in paper.
Yeah, Dev, as you know, when you're doing interviews when you're a player or whatever, you're into coaching, you're doing interviews. It's different than writing a book. You know, you're talking the same spiel. You're more or less giving nothing away. But I suppose you sit down to write a book, and I had to think about it, and I was chatting to a few people that have done it, and like I tried to be as honest as I could from my own point of view, from my own career, I suppose, or Roscommon. To me, I got unfairly treated a lot and got labelled a lot for stuff that, you know, might or might not have happened and might not have even involved me. You know, in a small county like Roscommon, you know, stories grow legs, and, you know, by the time the story is finished, you know, sure, you're labelled this or you're labelled that. And, you know, that wasn't the way we were, you know, like we would have played against yourselves a few times, and you know, like we trained hard. Like Jim back then wasn't the be all and end all, or it wasn't in your schedule that you had to do the gym. But it sort of came in maybe in the late noughties. Then it was sort of going more serious. But like we trained hard, and you know, after we go out after a championship match, have a night out, or maybe go for a night out on the Monday as well, and that'd be it, you know. And I don't think our county board really helped, or local media helped us in the way they just carried out their business. And, you know, they just sort of labelled players as troublemakers and that type of stuff. And that was never the case in Roscommon. You know, we played in Division 1 for a good few years. We were getting the league semi-finals, you know, and, you know, we won the Connacht, and, you know, a couple of years then we were playing against good Galway and Mayo teams. And, like, I've said it on record, like, we weren't good enough to play against some of them Galway and Mayo teams. They had some super teams back then. You know, and I'd have no problem saying that. Our aim every year was to try and get to a kind of final and see where it took us, Dev. There was no talk of bloody All-Irelands or any sort of crack like that, because that was never going to be the case. We just didn't have the players. We just didn't have the population. Simple as that. And, you know, that's why I sort of put it out on my book, and, you know, and thankfully in getting good feedback from a lot of people, especially around Roscommon, that would have been interested in to see what way things were back in our day when we were playing and training.
Yeah, you know what, Frank, so many similarities with Donegal, what you're talking there. You know, we had the Armagh and Tyrone to this world. You know, we'd beat one and then we'd lose the other, same as that. You know, there was a lot of crack in our team. You know, we had a lot of characters, and that led to, you know, pints and nights out. A lot of labelling as well, Frankie. I'm not just ready to get the book out yet, but nobody in my mind. Frankie, you're down in Kiltoom, Caroline, and the two boys and that. Did you discuss all this with herself before? What was she, her first reaction to you saying you were writing a book? I would love to see her face.
Yeah. Well, she was sort of one of the people that, I had a few people on to me over the years, Dev, and my mother was one person, and I'd laugh at her. I said, Rosie, I haven't a notion. Because writing a book, you know, is totally different than doing a newspaper article, you know. So, and then Caroline would sort of, every now and again, she might say it, and I didn't pass any heed in it, but a few other people then started getting involved, texting me, ringing me, you know, people I would have been in contact with the GA over the last 20, 25 years, Dev. And I started thinking to myself, geez, maybe there might be something in this, you know. Like, Dev, I've only read two or three books in my life. I wouldn't be one for reading a book, you know. And I was in Miami then February last year, yeah, before the pandemic started. And three people texted me the one day. I was down in South Beach on the beach, chilling out, having a cocktail. And I was like, Jesus, that's mad, you know. And I started thinking to myself then, I said, maybe I might inquire about it. And my first contact was Brian Carty from Roscommon. Brian from RTE, great friend of mine, a great reporter. Brian told me, he says, there's definitely a story there. Brian would have wrote many a book himself. And I said, are you sure, Brian? He said, definitely. And he said, I'd love to do it, but I'm doing a book myself. And I said, no problem. And he put me in contact with Damien Lawler, be good friends with Damien, and Damien was in the middle of doing a book himself, a book of retired sports stars, brilliant book, from sports stars from all walks of life, you know, whether it be rugby, horse racing, soccer, athletics, all that type of stuff, boxing. So he put me in contact then with Liam, and we had a good chat, and we left it a couple of weeks, and I had a bit of a think about it again, and I chatted to Caroline, and I said, geez, you know what, I'll do it now, because the way things were, Dev, things were quiet, you know, there was lockdowns and this and that. And, you know, I said, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now, because normally I wouldn't have time. You'd be training, you know, you'd be gone 3 or 4 days a week and you wouldn't have time, and I wouldn't have had the interest either. So I'm glad I done it in the end, you know. It passed a year for myself and Dan, and we got on mighty, you know, the crack was mighty. He was nearly like a shrink to me at times, Dev, you know. He was hearing things that nobody has heard, you know. But it was great crack, great fun, and, you know, there's lots of stuff that we couldn't put in the book for reasons you know yourself, but, you know, we had brilliant fun, and, you know, there's some great stories in it as well from crack down the years. And as you said, no more than myself, I played with some great characters as well at Roscommon, the likes of Francie Graham, Mixer Ryan, Deneen, Cliffy MacDonald, DeLohans, you know, there was Lord Gary Cox, you know, we had some brilliant characters, and we probably got on too well at times, you know.
Yes.
The crack used to be mighty after a match, and, you know, that would probably lead to a few beers on the Monday, you know. Yeah. But that was sort of the thing back then, Dev, you know. Yeah. It's totally different now, but,
Shane Curran didn't get the invite, did he not?
Jesus, I forgot him, yeah. Oh yeah, Cake was there, alright, yeah. We tried to keep our distance at times, you know, because Cake had been in a different league than me, Dev.
I've been out with him. I know all that. Do you know what, Frankie, fascinating stuff. And Frankie, the thing I suppose with Roscommon, as you said, you were you never dreamed of an All-Ireland, but you were able to dream of that with Bridget. You know, you dominated Roscommon, and many ways you were the power in Connacht at a time when there were some serious teams in Connacht as well, you know, coming out of Mayo and Galway. You know, you obviously lost All-Ireland final to Cross in 2011. Did you think at that point, Frankie, that was your opportunity and chance gone, or did you think you were going to get another opportunity?
It's a hard question to answer, Dev, because there's so much effort goes into it. We were raw, the difference in 2 years between 2011 and 2013, and like there was a bit of personnel change there as well with the management and players, and like we were very raw going in 2011 against Cross na Glen. And you know, looking back and thinking back, and even chatting to players since, you know, you'd have a beer with a fella and they'd open up a little bit more. I found that some of the players didn't have the belief that they were going to win that game against Cross na Glen. No, I had the belief. I believed, and there was, you know, the likes of Caramania, the Cabrides, Garvin Dolan, Domican, like these lads believed, but there was a number of lads playing that day that didn't believe we were going to win the game. And like, we only lost the game by a goal, which was only a kick of a ball, you know. And it's a pity lads didn't sort of, you know, when you look back, lads talk and say, right, I don't believe we're going to win the game here or whatever. You know, let lads know, and, you know, you get into their mindset then that you do have a really good chance. You're playing in an All-Ireland final. But, like, they were going into that final not having the belief, and that definitely didn't help us, Dev. But the difference in 2 years, mate, it was massive to us. You know, losing that final definitely helped us in 2013. We were 8 or 9 points down at one stage in that first half. And, like, there was no panic. Lads kept it cool. You know, Seneca Bry got a brilliant goal to get us back into the game. And the belief started growing then, bit by bit by bit. And, you know, we eventually dragged, you know, a really, really brilliant Ballymun team back. And, you know, I think we dominated a lot of the ball in the second half. And, you know, it was a brilliant game. Went to the final whistle. And, you know, what a way to win it in the end. It was superb stuff.
Thanks very much, Frankie Dolan. What a great guy. That's wrapping up the show for this week. I want to thank Frankie for his input. And again, just to mention his book, Outside of the Right. Also want to thank Kieran Whelan and, of course, Ryan Ferry for their input this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. We'll all catch up next week.
The DL Debate brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.